Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we're doing a little something different today.
Hello. Yes, folks. But first, before we even get into any of that, Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, everybody.
What a minor holiday.
But I feel like it's funny you say it's minor, yet I think of it as, like, major in terms of the attention it gets. Of course, it's in the shadow of Christmas, but it's like, you don't see Sukkot merch. You don't see really like Passover stuff.
No.
It seems like Hanukkah gets, you know,
because it's next to the biggest Gentile holiday of the year.
Well,
that's it.
And Hanukkah said, I'm a step up.
I've said
Hanukkah
this before.
Says about me. I know.
This is like you taking an Instagram picture with The Rock. You get like what? Like 80,000 likes on that thing.
Right.
They're not liking it. And then what, the picture of you like eating a wheel of cheese at TGI Fridays. I don't know, whatever.
Right.
At the Cheesecake Factory. wheel of cheese?
I have no idea what you're saying, like the whole thing. Because it was like anyway, a wheel of cheese at TGI Fridays.
Just listen for a second, okay? There's you eating your pasta fazool at Cheesecake Factory, and that gets like 100 likes, okay? Why did the picture of you and The Rock get all those likes?
Because it's The Rock.
Right. Why is Hanukkah a very minor holiday? Why is that elevated? Because it's next to Christmas.
But you say it's minor, and yet when you were a kid, you get 8 days of presents.
Because of
and
Christmas.
There's nothing minor about 8 days of presents. Because why didn't Hanukkah just say, we gonna do presents on one of the nights?
There wasn't.
But Hanukkah said, we gonna do 8 nights. That was added in later, right? Because it was about the candlelight. It was about the oil. So later on, though, when it kind of became commercialized, like, when was it decided that it would be 8 nights of presents? That feels major to
me. It was to compete with Christmas. Because all the, like, Jewish kids in the, like, 50s and 60s were, like, looking, like, salivating, seeing under the tree of their friends all these packages. And they got, what, like, some, like, shitty chocolate coins and, like, a badly burnt latke because their parents were working all the time. You know, living in a tenement in the Lower East Side, their parents in the garment district just barely trying to hold on to a working class life, Naomi. That's why.
So happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone. I wrote, by the way, I have to record it, but I did write a holiday band. Well, an indie rock banger. I have.
Banger's a strong word, but it is a
strong
song.
Word. It's a song word.
Maybe an indie rock bop?
And I said it's a song word, yes. Yeah, bop. I think I would. It's definitely a good pop song. I have to actually record it. Maybe I'll release it this week.
Okay.
Because it's special. Obviously not relevant any other time of the year.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but it's more of like a Hanukkah fight song. Or it's more
right.
of like,
right,
you know
right,
what?
Right.
I just put all that, all the sentiments that I just screamed at you, Naomi. Yeah. That's all packaged into the song.
Okay, that's beautiful. We love it. We absolutely love it.
But I definitely got a present this morning. Squee did not get out of the house.
Okay, I was like waiting for you. I was trying to figure out. I was going to say like, part of Andy's coming through with a lot of intensity right off the bat. And I wanted to say it's because we are frazzled as a household because Andy, we've gotten some deliveries and they were at the back door. People really don't like to ring the bell anymore and let you know they've dropped something off. So we just have to spontaneously walk outside and hope that whatever we've asked for has come.
Yeah, our neighbors must think we are very strange because like every like hour or two, I'm like looking out the back door. I like get up from like my typing and I look out the back door. And if they're like, I would have to be like an insane narcissist to think they're actually paying attention. But, and I'm on the precipice. So I'm not totally there yet. But, you know, and we're just looking, like, making sure there's nothing there. Yeah, so I went and I got some packages. And so the door, there's like a little antechamber. Like, we have a little, like, laundry room type thing. Storage, mostly, at this point.
Yeah.
But, and that door shuts. Started popping open this morning, apparently. Because I go look, and it's popped open. And I go, all right, let me just go account for the animals. Make sure none of them have gotten out. All right, I see Prembly. All right, see Mabel. Huh. Where's Squee? It starts off like that. Just real gentle, all right. Let me just like look all where are his usual
his classic yes, spots. Classic just go spots. Around, like walk around the house. It's like, okay, is he in his little hutch that we have positioned right in front of the heater because he wants to lay right in front of the heater?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Is he sitting on Andy's desk behind the laptop in the little hutch in there?
Mm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Is he in the little chair next to the bed in the bedroom? No.
Mm-mm. Is he in the drawers? Under the bed drawers.
Mm-mm. Does he get in there? Is he under there? No. And we're like, what on earth? Because I'll tell you this about my children. They don't want to go into the outside world. Mm-mm. They're a lot like their mother. You know, I feel like a Squee and Prembly won't really just like go outside. Because it's like, they're like, ugh, it smells out there. We don't know what's happening. All manner of predators. So I don't think they would just go outside. But it was also like, I don't see you inside. Where did you go? And so we are going all around. And then I'm like, okay, get the flashlight. Let's see if we can look in the nook and crannies. And like, it was like a real... And
it I started this, panicking.
I was going to say, you got panicky, but I was going to say, you stayed pretty calm. Because once he wasn't in any of the go-to places, it was like, what is happening? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a little like, uh-oh. But you stayed real calm. Me, I did too, but I always stay calm and high pressure because it's like I disassociate. So, like, what was it for you that kept you kind of...
Well, I started sweating. I took off my pajama shirt. Started like, I had a shirt underneath, folks. I'm not walking around shirtless like some kind of hunk, okay?
Like some kind of hunk, he says.
All right, I'm not Aiden.
Aiden?
From Sex and the City.
That's Andy's first thought of a hunk, you guys. That's so funny.
Carrie should have ended up with him. So anyway, I start sweating, and I'm like, because in my mind, I'm like, there's no way he went outside.
Yeah.
The cats don't like going outside. And I I'm holding on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we can't find him anywhere.
But then also too, I was like, okay, if he's in like a closet, he would have started whining by now. And I'll tell you, when I got nervous, I brought out the greenies, his little treats, and I started shaking that bag. I shake that bag, I can get animals to come from miles around. All right, certainly the animals in the house come running. Prembly immediately is like, what do you have? And I said, you're not the one I'm looking for right now. And when he didn't respond to those greenies, I said, what? But I said, no, he ain't gone. That's not his personality. He's not a wanderer.
You know what we didn't think of? What if he had been raptured? What if he, of all of us, was the one who was raptured? Honestly. And obviously, there's no like collar to leave behind. There's nothing. He would have just been gone.
Honestly, that checks out. He would be the one. He would be. Actually, no, I think Prembly.
Actually,
would
no.
Be.
Prembly. Yeah. Prembly's a saint.
Yeah.
Squee's a little jerk.
Yeah, Prembly is an angel. But I was like, he's in this bedroom. Because the bedroom, as soon as we wake up and come out, he comes in. He loves the bedroom. That is his space during the day. And I opened, even though Andy said he checked, it's not that I didn't believe him. I needed to see it for myself. So I'm checking. I'm like, no, he up in here. But I said, why ain't he responding to me? And then, you know, I had made the bed this morning when I come out, you know, and I put the covers up and I'm like, you know what? I can't even tell. Is there a lump under here? Is there a lump or is it just the down of the comforter? And I said, you know what? No, he up in here. And I literally just pulled the blanket back. And what I tell you, this cat meowed at me like I had just inconvenienced him. He literally looked at me and was like, and then it was like, he was like disoriented and confused, like, bitch, I'm sleeping.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. That meow was, bitch, I'm sleeping. What the fuck are you doing?
And I'm like, you didn't hear us calling you? You didn't hear me shaking greenies? And I literally just, when I see him, I scream, I go, Andy! I'm like, he's under the, like, of every place we checked. In the final hour, we pull back the covers. This cat is under my pillow. And we had to come down from that. We had to come down from that.
and immediately record an intro full of adrenaline and just like our brain settling.
Because it was so scary. I was like, where is my child? Where can he be? And then, of course, my immediate reaction too is like to Andy, where I'm like, well, what happened? Like, what do we do next if we cannot find him? And then it's like, what? Search the neighborhood, start papering. I go, well, that's the next 24 hours. At least. Mm-hmm. Like, I was immediately just kind of going off into that. And so it was like calming down from all these plans I then had. I was like, how would we even locate him? And this does remind me that perhaps we should microchip the children. Because the boys aren't microchipped because they never leave. And I know, don't come in my mentions. I understand. But because they've never been out in the world. But
well, I'll say this, though. They do not want to be microchipped. I've never told you this, but both Squee and Prem are QAnon. And they're scared. They're both anti-vaxxers, even though we get them vaccinated. Yeah, they're very angry about it.
They hate it.
Because they think we're tracking them with this stuff. So to actually track them with a microchip, Naomi, they might be really... I mean, didn't you ever... I'm the one who really cleans the litter box. You may have not seen this, but they like to spell out where we go one, we go all.
Wow.
In
urine.
Yeah, in urine.
Wow.
In the litter boxes. They're really, yeah, the storm is coming. I saw them right once in urine. Lord. So it is like. God.
Okay, well, this shit, neither of them getting raptured. They staying right here on Earth then. I didn't realize that. Okay, but he ain't never raptured. You guys, we have a special episode for you today. It's the holiday season, which is a time for, hopefully, resting, reflecting, relaxing. And Andy and I thought we might do that as a household by perhaps, you know, not running around in a frenzy to get all these interviews and booking and trying to have people. We just said, what if we did a little something different? What if we also gave a little gift to our free feed listeners? What if we dropped a page? What if we dropped a page?
You're really going all in on the Ask Rana vocabulary.
Oh, is that proprietary?
Yes, she has. Yeah, she calls it the free feed TM.
I did not realize it was proprietary.
I'm just kidding. No.
I know, but I was going to say like the main feed or like the main line. Anyway, so today we thought we would drop a holiday themed episode that we recorded in July because there's nothing like Christmas in July except for Christmas in December.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a wonderful episode we recorded with the one, the only, the host of I Said No Gifts himself, Bridger Weiniger. And I mean, I don't even want to give you, like, just listen to it. You know, we talk about one of the greatest songs of our time.
And of the last 100 years.
Of the last 100 years, at least. You know, and sort of what does that mean? You know, what is it saying? What, you know, it's a cultural touchstone. It's a cultural moment. Let's unpack that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's unpack that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, most of our Patreon episodes are just Naomi and me talking. Is that grammar correct? Naomi and me? Yes, I think so. Just talking, getting into it. But there was something that and we'll talk about it in this episode. There was a piece of pop culture that came into our consciousnesses at the exact right time.
Right, right. From Bridger. You know, he's Bridger. The reason, which is why we had to bring him on. I said, and it's your fault.
It gripped us so completely that we had to have someone on. And you know what? Without any further ado, Naomi, I think we have to say, roll it!
Okay, we are coming to you with a brand new Patreon, okay? Something different. Our very first guest. Our first Patreon guest.
What an honor.
I was going to say, do you feel like it's an honor?
Absolutely. Anytime I'm on this podcast and the subject today, I mean, everything about this feels like I'm on a throne.
Yes, because today we're celebrating Christmas in July.
That's what we're doing. Now,
yes, let's tell the story. The torrid tale of how our subject of today's episode came into our lives.
And became my obsession.
Because if everyone remembers the dark day of July 4th, dark for so many reasons. I don't know why I was so depressed. But I was very depressed on July 4th.
Every year.
We went.
I bought them out. I absolutely bought them out on the 4th of July. No question.
Really? Yeah.
I'm not kidding. This is like I've now kind of diagnosed it as the day that I will feel my absolute worst.
Huh.
And then it'll be uphill from there. But I know,
Yeah.
The holiday, just even on like a functional level, objectively, not a fun holiday.
Right.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And then there's all the other baggage. Yes. And it's the middle of the year.
Yes.
There's so many horrible things about it.
I mean, not only, you know, of course, this year in particular, last year in particular, 2020 in particular, you know, America sad. But there's something in general that is very sad to me about July 4th, because it is such a, again, like, the way we celebrate it, like, everything is the color of the flag. And it's just like red, white, and blue. I don't know. I just think it's just
garish.
Is that what you're... I think so. I think it's just very tacky.
Oh, yes. Do you know what?
So tacky. Me,
the fireworks are like the smile of a brittle housewife who is married to like some toxic dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of like plastered on smile, like everything's fine.
Honey, let's barbecue. You like to barbecue.
Look, I brought the meat for you to season, hubby. Like that kind of like that. Yeah. And that's the smile and the eyes wide open, like the eyes open like Clockwork Orange, but minus the little things holding them open.
Yeah.
No one is blinking on the 4th of July.
Yes.
Exactly.
Dry eyes.
Yes.
Exactly.
The fireworks are that to me, or that smile, if that makes sense.
And so on this darkest of days, we're sitting there, you know, I'm on Instagram. I'll go close it and then just open it again. And I'm scrolling through stories. And I love a Bridger story. You know, they're simple. Mm. He's not doing too much, but something that always tickles me is just it'll just be a line from the cover of a trashy tabloid.
Yes.
Just a single, line, no context, no further information. And so this go round, Bridger gives us, I mean, what is a story? 15 seconds max? Mm-hmm. I mean, and this was even less, probably five to 7 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just it was two young white women singing a slow, seemingly dramatic song. The lyric was, "Let's hear it one more time for Mrs. Claus." And indeed. Believe I immediately wrote you and said, who are these weirdos?
And little did you know that I just I basically have a master's degree in this family.
Well, yes.
I have been following and tracking this group of people for at least a year and a half. No, probably since right before the pandemic. They became kind of my area of research.
Interesting. Okay, I want to play very quickly this line.
The line that
we're going to get into the full thing, yeah. Listeners. There will be a larger context given to you, but now I just want to give you an amuse-bouche.
Yes.
A taste. Yes. All right. So I'm going to play this little bit. This tidbit right now
that changed everything for us.
That changed everything for us.
Let's hear it one more time for Mrs. Claus.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you hear what we're talking about?
We were walking Mabel. We were trying to tire her out before the fireworks.
In hopes that she wouldn't bark her head off. It didn't work.
Did not work.
It did not work.
We gave her CBD chews. Did not work.
Oh, what a shame.
I don't buy into the CBD stuff, okay? Okay? I'm not some reefer addict at all. But I know that people smoke and they're having fine. They're having a fun time. They're listening to
what?
Government Mule or whatever. Okay, I get it. I understand. You know, people want to eat Doritos and listen to the string cheese incident. Okay. However, this derivative CBD.
Yeah.
What a scam.
It's doing nothing.
What a scam.
Spent $30 on a tin of chews. That dog just ate it like it was nothing.
Well, it's because she's had street drugs.
true.
She did eat an edible off the street.
Yeah, nothing will ever be that feeling for her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's going to be chasing that for the rest of her life.
It's ruined her.
Yeah, we should get Mabel into a 12 times 4? What's 12 times 4?
48-step.
48-step program.
Okay, because she has four feet. Yep, I get it. Now, Bridger.
So, but as we walked her, all I could do. Well, literally okay, you want
to? Well, because here's the thing. I listened to it. I began to text you. You sent me links to the original Instagram accounts of the singers.
Right.
All right. These are two young white women, both named Tiffany. So you already know it's going to pop off. Okay. They're not a duo. They just came together independently.
This is a collab.
A collab. And
the Tiffany's.
So I was like already just like into it. And then when I was walking, I was like, Andy, you got to hear this. This is so funny. And so I just play him that clip, thinking he might chuckle, or actually I really expect him to go, uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, when I'm tickled by things, he's like less tickled. Well, what happened instead, Andrew?
All I could do the rest of that walk, walking Mabel, was just sing, let's hear it one more time for Mrs. Claus.
He couldn't stop. And that
could
is
not stop.
When I sent an you a earworm. Voice note.
What an earworm.
I sent you a voice note, Bridger.
It encapsulates, I think, so much of what's awful about our country in one line. Just the like.
Yes, because Mrs. Claus had not been heard of before. And these women are empowering a woman you are afraid. Just admit it.
Honestly, you got. Look, I try to fight against it. This is not my toxic masculinity. This is culture's toxic masculinity.
Santa Claus's toxic masculinity.
This is Santa Claus's toxic masculinity. That is the blood red, of his suit, the gremlins, the Phoebe Cates Gremlin speech of it all that has gone in me.
Uh-huh. Can I ask Bridger how this all came to be though?
Yes. But just like one more. But like literally like the kind of like, as we'll get into, the kind of like the desire for celebrity, the kind of like not America's Got Talent, the other one. The American Idol.
Of it all.
Like the desire to just sing without there being any kind of like creative spark behind that. Well, all of this is encapsulated in this. So yes, Naomi, Bridger, please. How did you come to find this song?
My God. I mean, what a complex and but yet simple journey. Well, first of all, the focus of our discussion here, I think, really is Tiffany Houghton.
Yes.
Tiffany Houghton. Is, and I believe that's how you pronounce her last name. I've obviously introduced her and her family to a lot of people, and certain friends have become even more dedicated, and sometimes I'll bring it up and feel like I'm mispronouncing the last name, but I'm pretty sure Houghton.
Houghton? Okay, because I in my head I said Houghton, but again, like you know, you are a little more connected to this community.
I said Houghton.
Okay.
Houghton.
And I would frequently say Houghton.
She is the blonde one of the duo, you guys, when you eventually go to look up this video.
Of the
video.
Two Tiffany's, yes.
Because you will.
Yes. So
I'll post this on the Patreon
page. Yeah, we'll post
it. Must. Otherwise, your listeners are absolutely being robbed. So Tiffany Houghton has a mother named Jen Houghton, who runs an Instagram called Turtle Creek Lane. My sister, I was raised Mormon. My parents are still practicing Mormons. My sister lives in Utah. And I think pre-pandemic, just kind of innocently sent me she's like, have you ever heard of this lady, Turtle Creek Lane? Because it had been suggested to her because she's obviously friends with other people in Utah and the algorithm finds you and says, here's a blonde Mormon woman for you to look at. And my sister was a little tickled by it, but it was just, you know, kind of a passing whimsy. Mm-hmm. Little did she, it's basically what's happened here. She sent it to me and I became immediately obsessed with what was going on.
Absolutely.
Jen, the matriarch of the family, has, Mormons are kind of famous for having, you know, teeth, smiley teeth.
Big teeth forward.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Can we just, Mormons are famous for having teeth is what you said, right? Did I catch that correctly? Did I get that?
Yes, you did catch that correctly. And I believe that's because there's probably a dentist for every quarter mile in Utah. That's kind of the the profession that you go into as a Mormon man, essentially. Huh. Because it makes decent money. It's not quite, I don't want to throw anything on dentists, but I think it's a little bit easier than medical school.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's less options for sexuality.
Oh, interesting. Probably.
Because you're not touching anything. You know what I mean? Like you're not engaging with genitalia or private areas.
Right. Wow, you're just kind of gorgeously.
I am kink shaming teeth freaks.
But yeah, so Jen has these glowing teeth. They live in Dallas. And what she's become famous for is decorating her home in the most garish, tacky way possible. I mean, they, and I also want to just back this up slightly. I knew Mormons like this growing up, okay, who were truly kind of like Mormon moms, very fun to be around, uh-huh, because look, their, yeah, entire life is sunshine. So I imagine if I ever found myself in this woman's orbit, I'd be like, I'm having the time of my life.
Right, right, right. She has cool mom energy. She has cool mom, right, energy.
Right. But, and this I'm still a little unclear on. I should look into it a little bit more. But her husband, Steve, has, as far as I know, hundreds of millions of dollars from some sort of bankery or what have,
see,
you.
See, this is how the music video came to be. Continue. And
right. This family has truly endless resources, which are just on display at all times, with Jen decorating for every single holiday. She has, of course, a Christmas tree, which becomes a Valentine's tree. She decorates for Easter, the 4th of July. There's no...
Yeah.
She finds an excuse for everything. Uh-huh. So she's very big on Instagram. My obsession with her kind of melded into the rest of the family, and Tiffany is kind of the second banana.
Okay.
Tiffany is the daughter, mm-hmm, and is also similarly blonde and toothy.
Teeth forward.
Teeth, yes. She's a teeth forward person.
Is she a failed daughter? Like, is the mom really the one who's like the star, and she's like, and she's brought Tiffany, her daughter, along for the ride?
Well, this is where it kind of, well, let's not say kind of gets interesting. This is where it gets extremely interesting. Apparently, Tiffany was the one that was first on Instagram and was, yes, trying to become famous or whatever, become a pop star. Mm-hmm. And the mom, and I've heard, because I've been, you know, fairly public with my love for this family, and people have reached out discreetly that have known the family or, ooh, whatever, and have given me a little bit of the lowdown. Apparently, Jen, the mom, was encouraged to get an Instagram and then absolutely eclipsed Tiffany in a way that must be,
wow,
painful.
Yes.
Right.
Wow.
Oh, mom shows up at the party and all of your friends want to talk to mom.
Yep.
Oh,
yep,
man.
But Tiffany, to her credit, continues to try every career path that the family can afford, which includes a pop career.
Right.
Most recently, she hosted an Instagram exclusive dating show called The Love Code, which I continue to be baffled by and almost cannot explain what was happening.
Because can you try? Hold on. Can you try to explain?
Yeah, because what's an Instagram exclusive show?
Well, it's a show that no one else wanted to air. but it was basically, there were episodes of the show, and it was basically the premise was they formed an algorithm, their own bespoke algorithm that the Houghtons have come up with that matches people with their soulmate. So they were using this mysterious algorithm to match up what appeared to be young Mormons who, they were probably like 20, matching them with their soulmates. And then they had to guess who their soulmate was over the course of this reality show. But when you watch the reality show, each episode was kind of cut like a trailer. So it was like, there were never really moments where you're like, I know what's happening.
It was just next time on Mad Men.
Exactly.
And yes. Was like, yes. Like one, like doors everyone closing. Says one word. Yeah.
Exactly.
So wait, can I ask, was this like a celestial algorithm? Was this like, did someone like stand up and be like, I have a prophecy, and then that is the match? Or like, did they have like hire some tech weirdo to like write some code?
See, that's, again, a part of the mystery of The Love Code. They never, and I believe, and I can't say for sure that I've seen every episode because it's impossible to tell. I believe I've seen every episode. But okay. There was never any explanation of who developed the code, where the code came from, what the code actually did. My assumption is that like a 10-question survey was filled out by, mm-hmm, each person. Uh-huh. And then Tiffany probably just picked who's who.
She picked who would look cute together. Like, she would, right, take their pictures and put them next to each other. She was like, you guys be cute.
But I will say that, especially there was one episode of the show which is the best piece of video I have seen all year. Truly, wow. I was howling watching this. I've watched it over and over. There are so many layers to it. I don't want to speak to what anyone's going through on this dating show, but I will say there are some things where you're like, oh, some of these people are probably not going. Some of these people, some of these men and women should maybe figure themselves out.
Well, sure.
Yeah. But Tiffany, meanwhile, was hosting the show in kind of a bachelor way, which kind of, in their new, I believe, and this is all just from me guessing, they bought like a $10 million home in Deer Valley, Utah last year, which was a big thing on Jen's page. And it appears the purchase so far was so they could film The Love Code.
Okay, so hello, you write it off.
So
then.
They just had
you write it off.
Just $10 million.
That's a $10 million write off, right there.
$10 million.
That's just, probably true.
That's what I did it. See, I'm learning how rich people do, and that's smart. You say this is my studio. The same thing they did for this song, which we will get into obviously in great detail, called Mrs. Claus. You know, if you just film something in your house, well, now the house is work.
That
you know?
Is. So, I mean, of course, that's exactly what happened, right? I mean, there's no other explanation.
Right.
I mean, they obviously have endless money, but that they have endless money because they've been probably dodging taxes for years.
Absolutely.
Now, wait, I have to ask this. Now, I know about there's a prosperity gospel in
sure.
general in Christianity, but like it's specifically in Mormonism. How do you like?
Is there one?
How do you justify this? Now, granted, I'm Jewish, so I don't really know the New Testament in and out. What I've heard of the things Jesus has said, usually anti-money, usually, you know, hey, everyone should have everything. Everyone should have food and all this kind of stuff, all the kind of things you need to live. You shouldn't hoard money. I remember some parable about kicking over some moneylender's shit in a temple or something like that.
He goes to the mall.
Yeah, goes to the mall, goes to Forever 21 and throws the cash register through the front window. It's something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this is like there was a change, like Joseph Smith in the tablets was just like, no, money's cool. There's going to be a lady named Ayn Rand in about 100 years, and you follow her batshit stuff.
There was a shift in Mormonism, I think in probably the 60s or 70s, during the Cold War, where communism became the enemy. Kind of weird. Mormons hated communism in a weird way that began to feel political. And capitalism was kind of the savior sort of thing. So I think there was probably a period when Mormons were not this focused on money and success and feeling like, oh, I make money because God loves me.
Right.
But now seems to be kind of the MO.
Right. And so now, just for you guys, so Tiffany, you know, as we said, she is blonde. She is teeth first. She has a perfectly round face. She says on her bio, you know, she is she's a newlywed trying for baby number one. Hello. They've got plans. And, you know, I think it's like, yeah, and she has a new house, right? So she's giving us, this Instagram is giving us Aryan realness, Aryan levity, Aryan joy. Okay, she and this husband of hers, sure, they look like they could be related. Less so than a lot of white couples, but still. And they are just having a good time. They're in pools. They're walking. They're hugging.
They're walking.
Well, a lot of like walking with a handheld. Do you know, like, you know, holding hands, being like, look at us in this like scenic moment.
They're cruising.
Yes.
Let's not forget they're cruising.
They love to cruise.
Just to specify, what definition of cruising are we working?
I mean, look, that's actually an excellent question in this scenario, but at least as far as Instagram goes, they're on cruise ships.
Okay.
They've got the travel bug.
Okay. Yes, they do. They're young. Obviously, now I know so wealthy, which I did. I just assumed, you know, and she has almost 300,000 followers. You know, she is obviously, it is real. And I guess now we know about Jen, it's momfluencer energy, which I do think really heavily informs this song, Mrs. Claus. Mrs. Claus
yes.
is a real, it's I would call it almost like a momfluencer anthem. That's
absolutely.
What I would call it.
A mom with a kind of lazy husband energy.
Yep. A sassy mom, as you said, cool mom, the drink in the house mom, where I can watch you.
Well, this seems like a good time to play the song then.
Yep.
But Bridger, are there any other tidbits about this family that you think are worth knowing before we plunge the listeners into
the abyss?
This dystopian Hieronymus Bosch-like hell?
I mean, I obviously have theories that I actually probably shouldn't say publicly for, you know, the last thing I want to do is be in court with the Houghtons.
Sure, they will eat you alive.
Yes, yeah, of course.
All I can do is encourage people to go and check out the page and be gentle with them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No,
observe.
Our listeners would never.
It's really more of an observation.
It is. Thing. It is.
Because you don't want to scare the animal.
Right. Right. Now I have one last question. Do you think that, like, when you say there's stuff you wouldn't want to say, are we talking about, like, under the banner of heaven type stuff?
Oh, my God, I wish.
That's going on in the background?
No. We'll talk about that off.
Exactly.
I will just tell the listener to go there and observe the relationships and the behaviors. And then things will add up quickly.
I will say it is like their Instagram is a travel show. It is, you know, for me, it's classic Inside Caucasia. It is just, you get to really get into it. And I think you're correct, Bridger. Like, they're living. They ain't hurting nobody. I do think I should get a couple million from them. But other than that, let them work.
Right. Yes. Treat it like a zoo.
Exactly.
Treat it like a zoo.
Exactly.
Don't tap the glass.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Bridger, you and me on the same
Yeah, you are
page.
Not Dear Evan Hansen. No, no. Tap, tap, tapping on the glass. Okay.
Yes. Only waving through a window.
Okay. So now here is the original official, okay, Mrs. Claus by Tiffany Houghton and Tiffany Alvord. All right. And Tiffany Alvord is the brunette, as you will see. And I think she is the main music maker. But obviously, these are two Mormon gals who know each other.
Yeah.
They go back. And basically, Tiffany was like, you want to jump on my track, Tiffany? And then Tiffany was like, yes, Tiffany.
Yes.
Please.
You know, it's always when you have exponential Tiffanys, they get stronger.
Yes, they do. And you really see it here. You see it here. The power of two Tiffs.
They combine their powers.
Tiffany to the second power.
We are going to listen to the original studio track or the acoustic track?
Studio track. Okay, the bump and jam. The bump and.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say I worked out to it this morning just as an experiment. And it was incredible.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to play it right now.
Thank you. Oh my God. Such teeth.
Chomping.
She's got a New York attitude, dressed in red lines of blue. She got mistletoe, glitter and gold everywhere she goes. Oh, you think you know her, but you don't at all. You think you know her, but you don't at all. Said I might be riding the sleigh. Baby, baby, make no mistake. Into shape. Who you think it is keeping that man off the naughty list? You think you know him, but you don't at all. You think you know him, but you don't at all. Santa might be riding the sleigh, but baby, baby, make no mistake. He might bring more presents. You best not forget it. Mrs. Claus is leading the way.
Give it up, 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 Queen of Christmas. You think you know, but you don't at all. Let's hear it. for the misses.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Wow.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
This might be the 20th time I've listened to this song. And my reaction has not changed. The glory to God. Okay.
The raw sensuality.
Okay, now.
So wait, can I just say one thing?
Yes, Andrew.
I did not. I thought the main person was the brunette. So to find out that Tiffany Houghton, the daughter of Anne Houghton, is the blonde.
Jen Houghton.
The things
sorry.
You're getting wrong right now, Andrew.
I know. Tiffany Alvord, the brunette, is the main one. She's the musician.
Right. And I was
I'm going to stand up for Tiffany here. I did a little research before the podcast. It appears since about 2012 or 13, she's probably has 50 releases.
No.
Tiffany Alvord.
Tiffany Houghton. Most recently, 2021, put out the album Slumber Party, which features, and I just want to make sure this is correct, a song called Candace, What'd You Do?
What? Who is she talking about, first of all? And what did Candace do? Is it Candace Owens?
Candace Kane.
I hope it's a Candace Owens. You think you know her, but you don't at all.
You don't at all.
We are not in a habit, I wanted to say, on this show of like making fun of bad culture. But this has become so primal. So
it just hits me where I live. Yes. Because, okay, and as I said, like now that you guys, you know, this is why I called it a momfluencer anthem, you know, because I guess what I'm taking issue with is not like, look at these girls singing. It's the narrative of this song. It is what they're choosing to say. Now, I will take you guys through this. Okay, verse one. She's got a New York attitude.
Okay, stop. What does that mean? I don't mean to how did this get made it and just say that, but like what? Like it seems like such a random. She's got a New York guy. Was that like yes. Ratso Rizzo? Like I'm walking here. Is that Mrs. Claus? What do you think of Mrs. Claus? Do you think of Ratso Rizzo dying on a bus at the end?
Also, so many people use the phrase New York attitude to mean Jewish.
I'll tell you, coming from Utah, a white Mormon person saying they're very New York. What are we saying?
Exactly.
What are we actually saying, Tiffany?
Exactly. exactly. So to say that Mrs. Claus has a New York attitude, again, this is the first line. This is the Mrs. Claus they're setting up, all right?
But she has a New York attitude. She wears a yarmulke.
Yes, but she's also dressed in red, lights up the room. She's got the mistletoe, glitter and gold everywhere she goes. Oh, now what I'm envisioning is a drag queen. All right. Glitter, gold, dressed in red, New York attitude. That's what I'm envisioning, Bridger.
Jewish drag queen.
I mean, I will say, looking at these Instagram accounts, there is kind of a drag energy. There's, I mean, these, they are primed to for drag.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I absolutely can see somebody becoming a drag performer doing a Tiffany.
Yes. Doing a Jen. Yeah. Yes. Because, well, it is interesting because it is very, very made up, very clip-in extensions, you know, and that is what they present to the world. And then maybe like once a year they do one post where they're crying to be like, FYI, I hurt too, you know? So that's,
I gotta ask, I don't know enough about drag, but like if there was a Jewish drag queen,
yes,
what would be like a good name for them? All I can think of is like something with Yentl.
I know. I can't think of what a Jewish. I'm trying to think of like a, you know, Womanishevitz.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Off the top of the dome.
That's great.
That's all I can think of. You know, maybe something like that. But now here's again. This is again part of this whole construct of a song. So after that, we get our bridge, right? Which is, you think you know her, but you don't at all. You think you know her, but you don't at all. Now, this song presupposes that people have a...
that they've had a conception of Mrs. Claus.
This
whole
is
time.
The very definition of a straw man argument. if anything, the song should be about how you don't think you know her.
Exactly. You know nothing
because
about
we don't know about Mrs. Claus.
We don't.
None of us has assumptions about her.
Exactly. Exactly.
None of us is so cocky about our knowledge of Mrs. Claus. No one.
Like, what do you think of when you think of Mrs. Claus? You think of like a kindly old woman kind of dressed like Santa Claus.
Who they just added to the mix like 50 years ago, too. Like, to me, Mrs. Claus is like not part of the original story.
Oh, there's no recent German invention.
Yeah.
Kris Kringle isn't shacked up.
No. Look, if you make an Audie's presents, you got somewhere to be. You ain't a good husband. Kris Kringle has always been single. Kris single. Okay? Kringle single. Kris Kringle single eating Pringles. I'm done. I've lost my mind. This is what this song does to me.
What's the other? What's the Knecht Ruprecht? That's the bad guy. Does he have a? So in German lore, there's Knecht Ruprecht who like hits bad children with a switch.
Oh, like a Krampus.
Yes.
Knecht Ruprecht.
Yes. Is like the German anti Claus. Is he married? Is there an anti Mrs. Claus? Is there a Mrs. Knecht Ruprecht?
Is Knecht Ruprecht first and last name, or is that all one thing?
First and last.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Knecht Ruprecht.
So now you're going to go down a rabbit hole of your own. German lore, historical folklore. So you don't know her because Santa might be riding the sleigh. Baby, make no mistake. He might bring the presents. You best not forget it. Mrs. Claus is leading the way.
And I think here's where we get to the crux of this, which is basically like a girl boss anthem, not just a momfluencer anthem. This is a girl boss anthem. And this is, I also wanted to talk to you a little bit, Bridger, about obviously priesthood keepers. And again, from, I'm not super familiar with all the different forms of Christianity, but is there not in Mormonism a kind of like a woman is there to serve the priesthood keeper?
Of course. I mean, this is such a, it really is kind of an insane, they've really boiled down what Mormonism is, which is that the man is obviously getting the attention, but the woman, she has an important job, but just no one ever pays attention to her.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that's how it should be. That's exactly what the song is. And that's pretty much what Mormon culture is, where it's like we're empowering women. We're just asking them not to do anything.
Right, exactly.
And or to take any credit.
Uh-huh. But the things you take credit for, like the way Jen is like, I'm in charge of the home, so I'm going to make it look fabulous. Right. It's like taking it to the 10th power. right. of homemaker. Like homemaker to the other. It's like all your kids grown. You can relax.
I'm making sure my husband is comfortable so he can make the decisions.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Which is mortifying.
Right. She's someone who's like, I don't handle the finances. You know, if you right. ask her a question, but she does have a credit card. You know what I'm saying?
Well, is that where the garishness comes in? Because they only have a small domain that's under their control. So they take it to the nth degree.
Well, that's our armchair psychology.
Why it's so garish. I'm throwing out a hypothesis. I'm
that feels like that. A very good theory.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't speak for Jen. Of course. I would never imagine.
Could never.
But that feels right to me.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, I've got the. I can do this. So I'm right. gonna really go for it.
Well, like if they only had a piece of paper, it would not just be like minimalist lines. It would be covered in doodles
and color,
and color, yeah, and glitter.
Right. Right. Because I will also say this,
like pom-poms.
You know, the gentler way to think of the phrase garish to me is also heavy-handed. So it's like, okay, if this is all I can do, as you said, I'm gonna go all out. And you certainly have to do it for every holiday because what else is there to do?
Once otherwise, your children the emptiness. Are out.
The emptiness will settle in.
Oh no!
So echoing you
need
halls.
To be, you need to be surrounded by baubles, tchotchkes, pine needles. Okay, because that's gonna muffle. You know, you're not gonna get that echo. You're not gonna get that echo when the house is full.
Oh, it's got so dark.
Okay,
look.
This is facts.
What I want to say is also, I can't believe it got this dark, and it was just you two that got it there. I'm the one who did not suggest that.
I know. Well.
Well, you lit the fuse.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, and then our chorus, of course, is give it up, give it up, give it up to the misses. Give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up. Queen of Christmas.
Which makes Kris Kringle the king of Christmas.
You think you know her, but you don't at all. Uh-huh. Let's hear it one more time for Mrs. Claus. Give it up, give it up. She checks your wish list. Give it up, give it up. She wraps your presents. You think you know her, but you don't at all. Let's hear it one more time for Mrs. Claus. Now, you know, this goes back to, again, deciding that, oh, she wraps the presents? Well, what happened to the elves?
Full elf erasure.
Elf erasure. Elf erasure. Okay? She checks your wish list? I have never heard of a naughty or nice list being reviewed by Mrs. Claus.
Absolutely not. That's a complete fabrication.
Hold on. Maybe it's, like, you know how Jim Gaffigan and Jeannie Gaffigan both write his stand-up?
Yes.
So yep. Maybe Mrs. Claus, like maybe it's Jeannie Gaffigan in this case.
Well, I will say though, this second verse also, you know, we've already talked about elf erasure, the assumption that we have all been making assumptions about Mrs. Claus. Well, now I think they go into, I think, what would really be called Santa slander, because this next one says, Saint Nick was not a saint. She came in, whipped him into shape.
Now that to me is so much of like the kind of like toxic culture where it is just like there's this slob.
Yeah,
she found a horrible man.
Exactly.
And the woman comes in and turns the slob into less of a slob.
Well, because she says, "Who do you think it is keeping that man off the naughty list?" So now, Santa wasn't even doing the work of Santa.
So what is he like when it says not a saint? Is he like what? Is he a cad about town? Like what is he? Is he like sleeping with the elves? What is he doing?
She's implying Santa be fucking.
Oh.
Oh yeah, at bare minimum.
Bare min. Bare min. I mean,
the imagination runs wild.
She's keeping him off the naughty list?
Yeah.
Right.
In which case, why are we even looking to this man to be deciding who's naughty and who's nice? If he's out
of control.
Hanging on by a thread.
Right. The whole point is that Saint Nick is supposed to be morally pure.
Absolutely.
Not sleeping with Connect Ruprecht's wife.
But this is also what, as you said, though, this like kind of, to me, okay, I'll call it toxic femininity. This idea that a woman must be aggressively pure and her purity is supposed to influence everybody in her orbit. She is there to make everyone better.
Otherwise, it's her fault.
Exactly. And, you know, when you see, you know, these are very young women, it's tricky. You know, Tiffany H, blonde Tiffany, it's hard to, like, I said to Bridger when I first saw her, I was like, I can't tell if she's 13 or 40. Because you know how when a white lady got too much makeup on and you just don't know what's up? And when they get real slender and just real, so I was like, I don't know what's going on. But obviously, both of these Tiffanys, they're of legal age, but they look very young. And, you know, obviously, at least one of them's a wife. And so it's this idea of, we're going to make a Santa anthem about the lady of Christmas, you know, and them trying to like reclaim what it is to be a wife and try to make wifing cool and also right. seasonal.
Which is just basically, it sounds like being a wife is a job. Just you're kind of,
yes.
you're doing chores around the house.
Absolutely.
That's the empowerment.
Well, exactly.
Bridget, this might be a little outside of your knowledge base, but I
didn't know we were going to come here to ask him about Mormonism.
Well, I was going to ask him in general about like evangelical Christianity. Is that not the like the man has these urges?
Uh-huh.
And it's the woman's job to kind of like to make sure that he keeps them in check.
Right. That does sound that. I mean, from my small knowledge of evangelicalism, that feels right. I mean, Mormons have their problems, but then we get into the born agains and
that's a whole
next level.
That's a whole other.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've entered another reality.
Did I just buy the book Jesus and John Wayne about the rise of evangelical Christianity in America to try to figure out what is going on? Yes, I did.
He wants to get inside. Andy bought this book. I was like, this is not a fun read. No, it's not. It's so thick. And he was like, I've got to figure it out.
But it goes through like with the promise keepers and like all of that stuff. And like,
right.
like, cause it, think about this. Like there's this weird, like, daddy daughter thing also where like the dad is the like the daughter pledges herself to the dad until she's married and then the dad like hands over the responsibility for his daughter's vagina to the husband.
But what's interesting about that to me now knowing, as you said, that these people are very rich, because to me I thought, you know, I think of the momfluencer thing as a way to be basic and wealthy at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. people make this online persona, right? And you get the followers and you get ads and all that kind of stuff. So it's like kind of this sneaky way of being like, I'm going to monetize my perfectionism.
Right.
Hmm.
But really, this is just like a side little hustle. They're like, Daddy, can we make a video? Full hobby.
They absolutely do not need the money. Yet they, constantly partnering with Walmart. The looks that this family is getting from Walmart, it's like, you know that they're taking those things off as soon as the phone is off. Jen is advertising a dress from Walmart once a week.
Wow. Wow. But what do you think she's really wearing, though? Do you think she's not giving us down-home brands?
Absolutely not. Okay. I mean, this family has hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well,
Walmart clothes, those are pretty scratchy.
I know.
But in America, that doesn't mean, like, the kind of like nouveau riche revolution doesn't mean that you, just because you have hundreds of millions of dollars, you have like fine taste.
Well, absolutely. And this is an excellent example of that. You look at that and you're like, there's zero taste happening.
Right. Right.
But you got the money. You're going to the fancy store at the mall.
Right. Right.
But what's the
right.
They're not wearing like Hermes. Is that a?
That is a brand. That is a brand. That was very good. Very good. Specific.
Nice poll. I mean, as far as publicly, you're not seeing a lot, but occasionally, like when they're traveling or whatever, you'll catch like on their luggage, an insignia that's like, oh, that's like a year's salary.
Oh, okay. Okay. Some little bits. Yeah, a little something if you know what to look for, because they do have to stay approachable looking.
Of course.
That's the thing, right?
You don't want to alienate.
Yeah, you can't. You have to be aspirational.
It should feel within reach.
Exactly.
Despite absolutely not being within reach.
At all.
That's why we're popular, because literally our entire lives are in reach of everyone.
That's, people do find me relatable. I talk about sadness and then they write me messages. And that is my brand to give to the world. Just really quickly, because obviously there's more bridge, more chorus. You know how these songs be. However, just really
give
quickly.
Give it up.
What do you call that? Like the breakdown or the thing in the middle before they do the key change?
Yeah, I think the breakdown.
Where they said, there was no Santa. There was no Santa. There were no reindeer. No, there were no reindeer. No, there were no presents. There were no presents. There was no Christmas. Not before the misses. Okay, so...
Oh, and that's the key.
That's the key change.
There's the key change right there. You can hear it.
Yep. And so, you know, now we're touching on all of it. It's like, wow, okay, there were no reindeer. Like, I thought those were just animals native to, you know, native to the North Pole.
Not flying reindeer, not present delivery.
No,
reindeer.
I think they mean reindeer, period.
You're saying there was that Mrs. Claus created an entire ecosystem in the North.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I walk away from this song, initially there's the promise that you're going to really learn about who this person is, this three-dimensional character none of us knew before,
none of us knew.
We thought we knew. But then you kind of walk away thinking, oh, so she's a mean woman who can look at lists and knows where to get reindeer. That's all you get from this.
Exactly.
And her husband, I guess, was a scumbag.
Exactly.
She's basically like the sourcing manager at any company. She knows.
Yeah. Right. She's the office manager of the North Pole. But it's also, but you know what I think what really gets me still and about it, where I'm like, it does make me defensive because it tells me you think I, it tells me I think I know, but I don't.
Oh, of course.
And so initially
you're on your
I'm like,
back
okay,
foot the, right from the start.
You're on your back foot the whole time. And it's like, okay, well, what don't I know? And then basically what you're telling me is that she made Santa.
Naomi, maybe you should check your privilege, all right? Maybe you don't know about Mrs. Claus.
I mean, that is the one thing universally we all know. She didn't make Santa.
Exactly.
The legend has nothing to do with that one element.
That one element.
This is, okay, let's get a little deep on this, because if you think about it, think about like when you don't have power. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the women in these relationships don't have a lot of power outside of like, again, the household. Like, I get to decorate the house the way I want or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Again, once the children are gone, like once the house is empty, that's where that energy has to go.
Uh-huh.
Right. And when you don't have that, they're trying to create the mythos through Mrs. Claus. I don't mean to get too Freudian.
No. We have to. You know, I've broken this down. I'm dramaturgy.
So I don't mean to get too Freudian, but really think about this. They are creating this myth of the really all the power is held in Mrs. Claus.
Yep.
There was nothing before. She is the alpha and the omega. Yes. There was nothing before her. This legend. Right. It's not even about like, I mean, forget like, let's put the Christ in Christmas again.
Right.
There is no Christ in this Christmas. It's only Claus.
Right.
if they had even like an ounce of like courage, they would have said there was no Christ before Mrs. Claus. They would have said that if they were just like, no, we really believe this. But because they are in a sense trying to empower themselves through this fictional character that no one has ever given a shit about. Before.
Or like literally she has never had a background for me to know wrong or right.
They're projecting.
They've
own.
Created this backstory.
Yes.
This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It was a void. They're formless. And here comes Mrs. Claus.
You know, I think it's also, you know, partially bringing you to the Patreon. You know, we want our listeners to know, because our lives have been changed in this past week this revelation, you know, and to thank you, Bridger, you know, because
I'm spreading a new gospel.
Yeah.
You're spreading a new gospel.
Yeah.
You're teaching me about things I didn't know existed, like this Tiffany Alvord, brown hair Tiffany A, 3.12 million subscribers on YouTube.
Oh,
never heard
God.
Of the gal.
Never.
I don't know things. I don't know what's going on, and you're telling me what's going on. Now I'm looking at these people. I can't follow. I don't have them on follow because I can't have them pop up like randomly. I have to be prepared.
However, for 3 million some odd followers, the views on the video is pretty low.
Oh, interesting. Always a red flag.
It's a red flag. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying. A little worried. But I will say, you know, this just really, I don't know, just gave me a chuckle. It was like a warm hug. And it just gave me something new to just kind of sink my teeth into.
It's a feast, an absolute banquet.
It is. It is a true feast for the senses. Can you recommend any other people who could bring this level of joy into our lives?
I wish. I wouldn't need to be looking for a psychiatrist.
Oh my God, I got ghosted by my psychiatrist yesterday, Bridger.
What?
By your psychiatrist or your therapist?
Therapist, whatever. She ghosted me, okay?
How does that even happen?
She don't come to the Zoom.
Oh, and that's devastating.
I sent her an email. I still have not gotten a response.
Is she safe?
I don't know.
If she's not in the hospital, she needs to refund like months of work you've paid for. I would unravel immediately.
I'm livid. And now like, okay, well, if I do hear from her, do I even want to keep seeing her? I did think she was good, but now I almost feel like my pride will not let me continue to engage with somebody who didn't have the good sense to cancel, confirm, apologize.
That's beyond bad therapy.
I know.
What would have had to happen to her for you to be okay with it?
She would have to have literally been struck ill, like something where it happened. She just had to go to the hospital. There was no like, send my emails, you know what I mean? Like, or tell people. Like, it would have had to be like swift and sudden. And she is like, she cannot talk or she cannot text. You know what I mean? Like, she, you know, kidnapped. She's got to be out. She's got to be laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even like, oh, an emergency, I have to go somewhere. You got a phone. You know what I mean? Like, and nowadays you just can pop off a sentence, you know, so sorry, family emergency, need to reschedule. You know what I'm saying?
And what you still haven't heard from her.
Yeah. Nope.
Oh, then that person's in danger.
Yeah. What if she helped someone with a broken arm load a sofa into a van?
And oh, now great. She's, now she'd been taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now she's rubbing lotion on her skin.
I know. I don't help people with nothing for that very reason. If you ever came up to me asking for help, I'd be like, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I back off immediately.
Have you ever helped anyone just randomly on the street?
No, it scares me. I mean, like, if someone comes up to me with an with a question, I just don't know what to do. I mean, even just saying hello to a neighbor in passing, yes. I'm like, I don't know how to handle this interaction. So if it's a stranger who looks even mildly like I need something, I'm backing up and I'm just immediately saying, I'm sorry, I can't help you, which is probably bad. But the one or two times that's happened, I'm just I'm small.
Yeah.
Yep. And I feel threatened at all times.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what so the times I help people in New York twice, sure. Separate occasions, like I've helped old ladies cross the street. Mm-hmm. They literally asked me, right? And that's a crowded like thoroughfare. There's no one else around. This isn't a bait and switch because I do look. But then recently on our block, this guy, he like stopped on his motorcycle and he was like, hey, can you help me? Do you know where the DMV is? Now, he was in the street. I was on the sidewalk. I ain't coming a step closer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I knew where the DMV was, so it was okay. Like, I was like, I literally just like pointed and was like, make a left to this corner.
Right.
But you ain't coming close to me, honey. We're social distancing, naturally, COVID aside. Like, you should not come within 6 feet of me.
You were social distancing in 2015.
Exactly. Don't come close. I can help you from there.
I was. Yeah,
that feels doable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in the, I was getting gas, this was like maybe 2 days ago. And Mabel was in the back seat in her little dog seat. And I just left everything the way it was. Like, my phone was on the little magnetic thing, you know, for
like
navigating.
Inside
navigating. And this woman pulls up behind me and she's getting gas. And then she goes, excuse me. And I like turn to her. Mm-hmm. And she goes, can you help me? And I go, hold on a second. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, what's the scam? What's the scam? And I go to the car. I like make sure all the windows are up, except Mabel's a little, you know, down a little bit. I take my phone. I put it in my pocket. I lock the door. I lock all the doors. I shut the car, and then I go to her and I go, what do you need help with? And she had like really long fingernails, like, you know, like acrylic nails, and her credit card. She couldn't get her credit card out. It was
honored to help with that.
It
situation.
Was in the machine. It was in the machine, and her fingernails were too long. So I like pulled the card about half an inch.
Didn't even take it out. But that's true, because you don't want her to think you're trying to steal it.
Yeah, I pulled half an inch, and she was like, thank you. And I did not say a word to her after that.
I mean, I think the secret to asking a stranger for help is not to say, can you help me? It's have your specific request as the thing. So the person knows exactly what you need immediately.
Yes.
Can I help you? It's like, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't want to commit to something that ends with you running away with my purse.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So maybe that's where your therapist is right now, is she helped someone pull a credit card out from the machine and now she's in their trunk.
Now she's in their trunk. Would you say though, you know, growing up in a, not isolated, what's the word? Like, environment where you're, sheltered. Thank you. That's what I'm using. Growing up in a sheltered environment, do you feel you came out more trusting or less trusting when you kind of went out on your own? Were you like everybody crazy?
You that's interesting. If you ask my boyfriend, he would say I'm so unbelievably naively trusting. He's constantly saying, this isn't Utah. But I actually think I'm very balanced as far as trust goes. I feel like I've got a good radar for who to, and now watch, I'll probably get stabbed this evening or something. but I'm skeptical, okay. But okay. I want to see the good. I want to believe that people's intentions are good.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay. So, fair enough. You're not, I mean, I could see, I mean, look, I watch a lot of true crime, and as a result, I trust no one. The world is inhabitable, right? Because I've been taking in, and I also think the work my mom did for a living, like, she was always seeing the bad side of things. And so I would just, I'm like, oh yeah, shit could go off at any moment, is how, like, my natural approach to the world.
Well, I mean, it's definitely the safer, I mean, the safer bet.
Safer bet, but I think much more, you know, a lot more gastrointestinal stress, a lot more sleepless, like, you know, just like my anxiety, just like there's always something to worry about.
Well, I mean, I'm worrying about other things all the time. It's not stopping me.
Right, 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 right.
And that's why you should try CBD, folks. Yes. Hello, everyone.
Classic callback, babe. Okay, someone's doing it.
Gorgeous.
Someone's doing gorgeous. I just hope you guys, this is a peek into our brains, listeners. This is what we're doing. This is what this week is. This is how we're marking the first week of July. And so, you know, obviously we're going to put the video up. We're going to link, you know, feel free to visit the Tiffany's Instagrams. All right. And just, you know, engage in a discourse yourself. Tiffany Albert also has a song called Dear 2020.
Oh, you sent that to me this morning, and, you know, the metaphor falls apart almost within seconds. It's breathtaking.
It is. It's about breaking up with the year 2020, you guys. Huh. And it is perfect.
Yes. Do your own Freudian analysis of Christofascism in these videos.
And if you're a woman, you're a boss. That's what I want you to walk away from this knowing, all right? There would be nothing with that.
Don't let that bearded scumbag make you do all of his work.
Oh. All right, you guys. We'll see you in a little bit.
I'm sorry to...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.